From the Joint Awakening Subcommittee of Human Resources, and today we will be hearing about some very experience. And so, Peggy, I will give you the floor here and you can explain what we're going to do.
I think that we are ready.
Oh, we need one more.
I have one more person for quorum, but you could open as an informational meeting.
An informational.
One thing that before we get to the grant application, Sheila has given me a sheet of paper, and I promised to read this, although most people are not here, but I'll read it again later on, maybe. And that is to remind the subcommittee that tomorrow there is a field trip scheduled to visit the Oregon State Hospital, and that members are supposed to meet on the Court Street side of the Capitol at 1 o'clock. And mental health staff will have transportation, and we will be back in at 3. Maybe. Okay. We have 4 grant application requests before the committee today, 2 from the Health Division, which are on the top of your pile because we were going to do those first, but the staff of the Health Division is caught up in a traffic snarl on the way here, so we'll have to see what we can do. We may try to muddle through those without them if we have to. So we can skip to the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division request. And you have all 4 of these, the way they're presented, you should have 4 paper clip files, 2 for the Health Division, 1 for the Commission on Children and Families, and 1 for Mental Health. That has the LFO analysis on top, followed by the Department of Administrative Service Analyst analysis, and then a copy of the request letter, which is a duplicate of the request letters that were handed out to you yesterday.
Okay.
So I guess I should say one more thing, and that the end of the trail for these, as I mentioned yesterday, is in the full committee. These are not issues that go to the floor. The statutes require that either the emergency board or the Ways and Means Committee authorize applications for federal funds.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Peggy. Barry?
Madam Chair, I'm Barry Cass, the Administrator of the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division, and I'm very much looking forward to our visit tomorrow to Oregon State Hospital. Mm-hmm. Hope to join you on that trip. We're here today to request permission to apply for a grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for projects of national significance. In this case, we're here on behalf of the Developmental Disabilities Council, which is an instrumental part of planning and thinking about the future of DD services in the state of Oregon, operated as a part of the division under our agreement with the federal government. I want to introduce Charlotte Duncan, who is the executive director of the council. But before I do that, let me say that in 1991, the legislature created the Family Support Council, and that council has been advocating for a greater role for families in the determination and choice about services in the community. A long-range plan for developmental disabilities, which shrinks the institutional side of the program and creates more access to services in the community, really relies upon family members as partners in the delivery of services. The grant that you're going to hear about now would strengthen families as partners and self-advocates and advocates for their needs. So with that, let me ask Charlotte Duncan to present this information, and we have some material for the committee.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. Well, basically, the grant application gives us an opportunity to, at a very interesting and integral time with the local planning for self-directed supports that you're all familiar with that's going on, Office of DD Services is receiving now 33 different plans from those communities for how they're going to propose to move to self-directed supports. The assumption of self-directed supports is that there is a relationship between the professional and the family or the individual with disabilities in selecting and determining what kinds of services are needed, and then in managing those services as much as possible themselves. So it's a different presumption, but one that I think you're becoming more and more familiar with is happening in the welfare reform movement and in several programs within SDSE within the state, taking charge and managing and being a part of, inclusive part of the community. So it's a very timely opportunity that Health and Human Services Administration on Developmental Disabilities would come forward with a grant. The proposed outcomes of this grant include increasing the knowledge and leadership skills of families, providing technical assistance to professionals and agencies transitioning to family-centered services, and increasing family and professional capacity to jointly develop, manage, and evaluate the services. Promoting family and professional partnerships and interagency coordination basically sums up the grant. We are proposing to begin to develop the assumptions and the activities associated with training and resource development in Multnomah and Josephine and Marion counties. Largely because of time constraints, we couldn't go out with a broad base of requesting counties to bid on this. So we're hoping that if we get the first grant, the first round of funds, we're automatically eligible for a second round, and at that point, at the end of the first 17 months, we would be able then to go out and replicate what we've learned and using the materials and the people that we've trained to continue this work statewide. I believe that it's an opportunity to develop materials and expertise that we can use in the future without any significant impact. It's certainly one of the roles of the council, and I know you're familiar with our public policy role through your relationships with us here at the legislature, to continue to network with families and professionals and continue the assumption that we need to be building the leadership and the independence in the community. So in a nutshell, that's what this grant would allow us to do.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Fisher.
Thank you. Notice it says on one page it requires a 25% match, and on the other side it says $66,000 match.
$66,000 is 25% of $200,000. Madam Chair, Senator Fisher, the grant application requires a $1 for three match, which and the sum total of that is adds up to $66,000.
Well, it's not 25%.
No. $1 match for every $3 for $3 of federal funds.
It seems like it's 25% if it's one. And
Madam Chair, the match is $1 and three, and of the total budget, the match comprises 25%. This is the kind of thing that the budgeteers deal with. But the match, none of the match is state general funds. We are contributing in-kind support from our training programs within the Office of DD Services, and the ARC of Multnomah County is providing $10,000 in cash support for the project.
We would not be asking for any additional or any new general funds.
And the $66,000 portion that is stated here is in-kind? Is that what you're saying?
$60,000 approximately of it will come from the State Office of DD Services from their training and technical assistance budget to support participation, to pay for consultants, arrangements, and activities associated with some of the activities of the grant that would be required. And they already have budgeted for this, and it fits very nicely into the set aside that they have in their training budget for technically supporting self-directed supports development across the state. So we'd be able to utilize those resources. So in a sense, they're real. In a sense, it's a cash match, but the dollars wouldn't be transferred to the council. We'd be working with them in collaboration to assist us in paying for some of the aspects of the grant. And then the $10,000 from the ARC of Multnomah County is an in-kind match.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
In other words, what you're trying to tell me is this is a $266,000 program.
Madam Chair, Senator, that's correct.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they put that in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. make it look like it's a $200,000 program. We're going to get kicked in $50,000. In reality, it's not.
Okay. Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Strobeck?
Can you tell me how you selected the four pilot counties?
Madam Chair, Representative Strobeck, we selected the counties with some assistance from some of our partners in Department of Human Resources. We were looking for opportunities to do some outreach to some of the more non-traditional groups around our state. You know, there are a number of families who have members with developmental disabilities that do not have access to some of the support and information that we are able to offer. And we've been interested for some time in working with local community organizations who work more closely with some of our culturally diverse families and some of our lower-income families. So we worked with members of the community partnerships team in identifying communities that would allow us to test out these assumptions in a low-income rural area as well as an inner city. And then Marion County was selected because of some of the activities that they're engaged in. They have a strong partnership with the Commission for Children here. They have a respite network that's starting to come up and be a part of community activities and a strong Hispanic outreach. And so in our attempt to try to get diversity in the first round of this grant, we look to the assistance of those staff members and the communities at themselves to see if they would be good places for us to start.
So it's fair to say that you looked for counties that were ready to receive this kind of an additional program and sort of integrate it with systems that they already had in place?
Madam Chair, Representative Strobeck, that would be correct.
Okay, well, I was just making an observation that the last time we had a request to have a particular program in a county that appeared to be ready to implement a program, that there was a lot of resistance because it didn't include Multnomah County. And I would just point out that in this case, Multnomah County is included. I don't hear anybody saying that they're going to vote against it because Washington County is not included.
Thank you, Representative Strobeck, for not voting against it.
I just wanted to point that out, that there are different programs that people are ready at different times, and just because we don't fund Multnomah County in everything
right.
doesn't mean that we're making a poor decision. There are different programs at different times.
Right.
Okay,
that's right. Any further questions? If not, Peggy, do you want to run us through the legislative analysis?
Well, unfortunately, Sheila Baker isn't here, but her analysis is kind of short and sweet, and that is to approve the request. This, again, is only a request to apply. The grant is due, I believe, around the 17th of May, and I think that the award is to be known probably midsummer, and then the agency would come back to the emergency board and request expenditure authority and provide greater detail on the program as it is actually approved. And at that time, if the emergency board has a problem with moving forward or more questions, then they can deal with that at the time. One of the things always to consider at the time is what happens after the grant.
Right. And that is something that I was going to mention just with Nettie, just to reiterate, we saw as happened in the health division in our rebalance budget that there was $30,000 that were not continued because it was a grant for lead poisoning activity or identifying that. And so I just want the members to realize that when we allow for these grants and then those grants are gone, the federal government then withdraws the funds, then we have tough decisions to make. Often we don't make the tough decisions. We just go ahead and fund it. So be cognizant of that as we decide on this particular piece. Any questions of our analyst here, Representative Ross?
Just to follow up on that, this is the first round, and then they have a second round.
I believe that the agency might need to respond. I think that's true.
Charlotte.
There is, we would be automatically eligible for the second round non-competitively if we're funded for the first 17 months. That would be a total of 3 years. And then at that time, the council would continue the network, and because it certainly is part of our mandate of what we do now, we would certainly be able to continue that network and continue to support activities in communities across the state without any additional funds.
So would the staff agree with that, that they would be able to continue that additional funds?
Madam Chair, as far as I know, yes, that's the basis of Sheila's recommendation to move forward.
And you don't have any reason to disagree with that?
No. Okay.
Any motion?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move that the committee approve the request by the Mental Health and Disability Services Division to apply for the federal up to 17 grants of maximum $200,000 per year for the family support project. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Per year, for a maximum of $200,000 per year, and again, sure the exact amount is probably not going to be known until the grant is awarded. So the dollar amount will become significant when they come back and ask for limitation, because this does not give them any expenditure authority at this point.
Okay, I would amend my motion then to say to allow them to apply for federal grants in the approximate range of $200,000.
Representative Strobeck has moved that we approve the submission of the administrative to the federal administration on developmental disabilities. That isn't what your motion was. I'm trying to.
I was reading the analysis line, but that in essence is my motion.
We're moving here to approve the Developmental Disabilities Council to apply for 17 grants to the federal government for funding.
Madam Chair, for the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division to apply for these grants.
Okay.
This grant.
It's been moved. Is there a discussion? Any
to the full committee with the group pass.
To a full committee with the group pass recommendation. Yeah. I'm sorry. Any objection? So passes. Motion passes.
I don't know if we have anybody here from the Children Commission on Children and Families.
We need to have somebody carry then.
Yes.
I can carry it. Okay. You don't look like Donna to me.
Okay.
Good afternoon, anyway.
Madam Chair, let's just make a comment. There was a little foul up in the scheduling, and we didn't, Donna did not realize that this was scheduled for today.
Okay.
So Fritz volunteered to come over
and
make the presentation.
Thank you, Fritz.
So that's why he's a little bit winded. I think he ran.
All right. Well, why don't you identify yourself for the record, and then we'll let you present.
Thank you, Chair Q-Dub. For the record, my name is Fritz Jenkins. I am with the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. And today we are just here before you to ask that you approve for the submission of a federal grant application to the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, the U.S. Department of Justice. The grant is to address the impact of family and community violence on young children. It is specific to the 0 to 6 age range. And it is a 5.5-year grant with 3 phases over that period of time.
As you give an idea of what you would do with the resources.
Okay. The grant is, over the course of the period of time, the grant is for just a little over $2 million. The expected result for what we would be doing with the grant is that the State Commission will partner with 5 local commissions on children and families and apply as much of the grant dollar as that is available to the local commissions to do some first some systems developments are using the exposure to violence, the children who are exposed to violence, and the harmful effects of that as the sort of catalyst for those. We'd be assessing the extent and nature of children's exposure to violence, increasing public awareness, increasing children's access to quality prevention programs. And the grant has two or three of those prevention programs inherent in it that are just here for recommendation. Improving identification, referral, and intervention for children and families. We'd be improving cross-agency prevention and response, provide specific training and support to direct service providers addressing the multi-ethnic, racial, and gender needs of young children who are at high risk or who have been exposed to violence. Developing and implementing specific protocols, procedures, and research-based programs for responding to the needs of young children and families, and strengthening the violence prevention programs that may already be in existence, identifying gaps and deficiencies, and barriers in prevention and intervention policies and services, and expanding a comprehensive planning and implementation effort to create a more holistic approach to prevention and the reduction of the harmful effects of exposure to violence on young children.
So this is a grant that you're applying for from the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, and it will be directed for kids ages what to what?
The grant is specifically targeted for the age bracket of 0 to 6 children and families.
Okay. Are there other questions? Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Madam Chair, just kind of a little explanation of how you intend to implement it. Of course, not able to read all of this quickly here, but how will you use that money? How will you bring about some outcomes?
Chair Qtab, Representative Loken.
And what outcomes?
We would, at this point in time, asking for the approval to submit the federal grant, we would not be able to identify exactly those things until the grant is written.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are doing this in collaboration with 5 of the local commissions and their collaborative partners in 0 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to gather that information together, put that into the package that actually develops the grant. The outcomes, we would probably be following those outcomes that can be outlined through some of the commission systems already with the building results notebooks and some of the outcomes that we already track. So we would match the two methodologies, this grant and its methodology, with the commission system and its work that is currently ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Some real goals that you're going to have some tangible results that you can see is your whole thing.
Yes, Chair Keshav, Representative Lovin, we will have that as a goal. The first 12 months of the grant are sort of the implementation phase, that planning, and then from then on, you are looking at a five-year, the grant asks for a five-year strategic plan for those communities, what they will be doing, and how they will be achieving those things through either programmatic efforts that are existing or through new research-based programs, and being able to track those outcomes from those entities, similar to the outcomes that we already track. We track through many of the programs that the commission is involved in.
I guess one more follow-up. I guess the reason I think of this is that it's kind of involved with a group concerning domestic violence, and I became a little disenchanted because they were always trying to get more and more grants, and it just seemed like it was a lot of meetings and meetings and meetings, and the grant money sort of frittered away. So I would hope that with all these grants that you get a goal quickly, as quickly as possible, and get to work.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse Shepard, look, and I can assure you that is one of the designs that the commission wants to have on the ground running, are those activities that actually do help prevent the exposure to violence with young children or mitigate the effects, those harmful effects.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the counties
are already doing some good work in that regard. Mm-hmm. And that's either, again, maybe enhancing that work or building around some other research-based programs that can be infused in the community to support that effort. So we will be doing some hands-on neat stuff.
Yeah, sure. Can you tell me on this background information section point three? Well, first of all, I just observed that following up on Representative Loken's comment, it looks to me like the first bullet point is a lot of talking, expand planning efforts. Number two looks like a lot of talking, increase awareness. I mean, this sounds like a lot of meetings, a lot of talking. And number three, identify and reduce gaps, deficiencies, and barriers in community policies, procedures, and services. What community policy? Are you talking about local city ordinances? What kind of community policies are you talking about here? And how do you intend to affect community policies to get in between parents and their children age birth to six?
Chair Kucha, Representative Kovac, I think the best way to identify, if I'm hearing the question correctly, would be when we're looking at what those barriers would be, it could be barriers just between systems, and that's why this grant was written, is to bring a broader coalition or collaboration of systems together that included some non-traditional partners possibly in the idea of children's exposure to violence, such as housing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if there are inherent within certain systems, there may be some barriers. There may be how to identify those. That's some of that talking point up front within that first 12 months of the planning. And the grant itself is set for those activities to happen within the first 12 months. Find those things out. Have a good, clear table of folks that can discuss these issues and what's occurring in their communities, how those occurrences in their communities are structured, and is there a better way to structure them? Is there a way that that those structures can be enhanced to lose some of the barriers, to mitigate some of the deficiencies and such? But when you're
structures, barriers, deficiencies, I haven't heard anything yet that I see that's going to reduce violence or get anything to kids.
And Chair Kucha, Representative Kovac, I think one of the things I want to say is that the communities need to identify those things up front, and that's part of that planning process, the way this grant is written, so that they can begin to identify those and then get those to the kids starting around the 9th to 12th month within the grant, because there is a 5-year strategic plan that must be presented at the 12th month for actual activities and operations of what's going to occur. So there will be, and the significant portion of the resources of this grant are only released at that 12th month. So the first portion of resources for this grant, only $250,000 of the resources for this grant are released in that first year. So there's not a lot of, the bulk of the resources are into that implementation phase. What are you doing? What are you getting to kids? How are you working to do that? What are those strategic plans and those comprehensive plans talking about, and what are the activities that you'll be tracking?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think you're asking some very good questions that we also ask in our office, and at your pleasure, I think the best idea would be to ask the department or the commission to come back, but they have to come back for the expenditure limitation at one of the meetings of the emergency board, and to direct them very specifically to come back with the outcomes that they expect to get as a result of receiving these resources. Because these are good questions, and I don't think we're prepared to really give you the solid answers that you need right now.
Representative. Well, Madam Chair, I reiterate that I've heard a lot of theory, but there's nothing that I've seen that $2 million is going to do, short of, you know, turn off the TV set, tell people don't hit each other. I mean, I haven't heard anything that really says here's how the state and by impacting community policies is somehow going to get into homes and start intervening in this way. I mean, I don't see any anything solid here that I can hang my hat on.
And I would say, too, just from looking at this, it would seem to me that there already are some plans that the commissions have. I mean, we certainly have studies that, you know, a plethora of studies that tell us what we should and should not do that already exist. We should not have to duplicate that with a lot of meetings. I mean, it should be an effort of copying plans on a copy machine, and that doesn't take $250,000. I mean, the commissions, if we were a state or that didn't have the commissions like we do, maybe this money would be needed to be spent by some organization to come up with a plan, but it seems to me that we already pretty much know. We have the University of Oregon Center for Violence Prevention, or whatever the name of it is, with Dr.
Phil Walker.
Yeah, Phil Walker. Thank you. And we have the person that did the early, that wrote the book about the brain development, and we've had a seminar on that. You know, we have the information if we just act upon it. And so, you know, we ought to be able to squirrel away the larger portion of this $250,000 and hopefully not spend it on a bunch of meetings to do the planning. But Representative Ross had a question.
Well, I was, when you first started explaining things, you were saying that you had three different research-based plans that communities could choose from. Did I understand that correctly, or did I miss the boat on that?
Yes, you said, Representative Ross, there are a couple, three within the grant that are just such as home visitation, such as family therapy, such as these are research-based models that OJJDP has recognized across the country that have some good, strong outcomes and impact.
Are you required to cover all the ages, birth to six, or could you concentrate on a narrow range within the parameters of this grant application?
Within, again, Chair, Representative Ross, within the grant, it is that broad age range. If someone wanted to target that would be understood and put forward. Again, at this point in time, without having the grant application in front of us and all the and the design of how this would work with the partner counties, it would be very difficult to clearly give you a structure to that function.
Okay. And one follow-up question. How will the five counties be selected, or have they been selected already?
Representative, five counties have been selected. We did an open process where we put it out to all 36 county commissions to put forward a letter of consideration for the state commission, asking for certain specific data or certain types of data that the grant talked about. Then we utilized seven data categories that are all from reliable sources, such as the child abuse and neglect rate for that county, the percent of population 0 to 17 under 100% of the poverty level, infant mortality rate, those kind of data that the state of Oregon already has inherent in it. We received nine applications or letters of consideration from nine counties, used a simple 1 through 9 ranking, and then came up with the aggregate score, and that's how that works.
So what are they?
Those counties are Coos, Josephine, Klamath, Lincoln, and Marion. And again, nine of the 36 counties applied.
Senator Shields.
Madam Chair, as I listened to Representative Strobeck begin to peel this onion, I agree that we're talking in, you know, kind of nebulous terms. But if I look at this, what it says to me is how desperate the federal government is. I mean, they kind of look at society collapsing around us, because they're the ones that are saying, we'll take any good ideas we can get from anywhere, and they're making these grant applications available. I'm assuming they distribute this to all 50 states, and they're probably saying, help us, please, figure out this mess that we're in. that's the only reason I guess we need grant applications to be available.
It says here that 12 sites nationally will receive a grant award, so I guess the 50 will be up to to ask about it. I've got some advice for people want to get rid of some of this violence, and one might be to have a community bonfire and have every parent bring their, these action video games where kids kill people for sport in the video game and burn the darn things. But do it voluntarily. Don't outlaw it. Just ask parents to go collect them and bring them and have a great bonfire and the smell of melting tape and wax or plastic will fill the air. But it will be a sweet aroma, I'm sure. But at any rate.
Madam Chair, I agree with you. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the possibilities out of this kind of thing, I suppose. But what I'm saying is that it speaks to me about just how desperate we must be as a nation to get a handle on youth violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my only reason for wanting to support this application is if it's this hard for us to come up with some ideas, that they're willing to put out these grants to 12 states out of the 50 states, they're desperately looking for some answers. And I think that our commissions on children and families here are probably as well organized as any place in the country and may be helpful.
That's all
I'm
saying. Senator Shields, we had before us when I think SDF was here, a report regarding incidents of child abuse, and it was cited in there, the National Incident Report, and I asked for a copy at least of the executive summary of that. And I'll tell you what, we have all the information we need on what is causing this stuff. If we would just turn around as a society and make some changes, we'd be on the right road. And a good use of these funds maybe is to educate the population about what in the heck is wrong. And but we have all this study, and it's sad to say to see the money being thrown at the problem to create some more studies. So, but we may be well on the way with our plans because of what we already know, and as I say, do we have to use the entire $250,000 for all this meeting and planning and stuff, or can we use, $500 to make copies of our existing plans and send them in?
Well, Chair Keith, in response to that, yes, everything will be coordinated with those existing plans. We do not want to duplicate any efforts, and if we can cash away some of those dollars up front to go right into meeting the needs of children on the home front in the local communities, then we will do all efforts we can to do that. The grant, in essence being a federal grant, makes the assumption that certain communities may not have as extensive a planning process as the state of Oregon does.
Right.
Otherwise, that grant would be targeting certain communities, such as those in Oregon that have those things going on, and that would be an unfair playing field for many communities.
Yeah.
And so by opening it up the way it does, it levels the playing field a little bit, but it also enhances the ability of Oregon to apply for this because we already have much of this work already accomplished. We just need to relook at the partners who've been part of the development of those plans, see if we are as comprehensive as we do believe we are, and then move forward into the implementation.
Madam Chair, I was just looking here on this recommendation, the second page of the packet, and in the third paragraph it says the commission has developed specific outcomes. Does that indicate that you're aiming toward the outcomes that those have already been identified? Why would there, where do you go from there? I'm wondering if that's part of the $250,000 of work.
Chair Keith, Representative Logan, I'm a little for the big picture, I need to make sure I understand your question correctly, is, as I mentioned before, the commission system already has identified outcomes and measures that we work with, such as the child abuse and neglect rate, immunization rate. We have part of that through the Healthy Start program. The positive use development and some of the work that we've done within the system itself. And so there already are identified measures. Yes, that's correct. There are identified measures. Taking a good look at those measures with our evaluators to say, do these measures meet the targets of where this grant is? That's a key thing for a grant application, to make sure that the measure is actually measuring what your plan is. And the other side of this is there is a second section to this grant that has nothing to do with our request here, is that the office, OJJDP, has put out for a evaluation of all 12 of the sites that are chosen nationwide. So there would be and they are funding an evaluation component as well. And so how those two mix together is just, there's a make sure that we're on the same page with that evaluation as well. So there are identified measures. It's just a matter of making sure that those measures are targeted, as well as making sure that they target the way that the national evaluator will be looking at it.
Madam Chair,
Representative Walker.
Here's what's frustrating to me. We have people coming in from all these nonprofit groups and from juvenile justice groups and everything, and we have places out there, and I think of Riverbend because I'm on the board there, but Youth Center, and I think of others similar, and they're crying for money. They have programs in place to help these kids. And they're doing it, and they just need more money to help the kids. They don't need more studies like this because they know how to go ahead. They've been studying this and working with this for years. Mm-hmm. They need the money. I'd like to see money like this go directly to helping them. They're already there. They're already identified the need, and they know how to work with it. Just help with the money. Mm-hmm.
Chair, keep that revision local. You're right on track with the plans for the commission. That money will get right out to the community. The maximum amount of dollars that the grant allows to go out to the community will go out to the community to those places, such as we've listed Klamath County as one of those areas of need. They're struggling with a domestic violence shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be that this money, we haven't received their write-up as far as to how they envision using their portion, but there may be a portion in their write-up that would say, we would like to look at be able to develop a domestic violence shelter because this is a need. It's one of the gaps or deficiencies in their system. And so, indeed, there may be identified places that are doing good work. That money will go there. There may be deficiencies and gaps that are needed to be filled, and those communities identify those, and the collaboration within that community says, this is what we need, and the money will go there. So I think we're going to meet your expectations.
Oh, so I hope it's very direct and very quick.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and forget all the studies and assessments in the plan.
And I would tend to agree with you on that because, I've got two children under the age bracket. I've got a 2.5-year-old and a 5-year-old. And we have a TV in our house, but we don't have TV. We're not hooked up to a cable. Mm-hmm. So we monitor all the movies. We do all the things that we think responsible parenting is about. But it's still in the community. Violence is still out there in the community. It's still in other places. And so how does a community come together to work with that so that my children, who I think, feel pretty good about their daddy, are going to say, I feel pretty good about the way that you're working in my community to help the situation. So I really believe in what you're saying, that the money needs to get out there and be operational and be focused.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Madam Chair, this grant is due on the 14th of June, is that correct?
Okay.
And are you the person who will be overseeing the implementation of this locally as these five counties get their plans underway?
Chair, Chief Representative Ross, currently I am the identified staff.
Okay. Well, if just to reflect the comments of what I'm hearing from the rest of the committee,
I think that as you develop this, it would be the desire of the committee that we have a real emphasis on deficiencies in services and that the money be spent on services such as the domestic violence shelter, and that minimum be spent on the other less tangible place to reduce violence.
Well, I don't know if that's totally what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Well, guess what I'm hearing is that we not spend a whole lot of time in meetings deciding where this money should go and what the plan is, because that is what commissions already do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe identifying where some of these kids can go, like River Bend, or you know, what nonprofits, what entities in the community have these services available to people, and it is the committee's desire that the least amount of money and time is spent on the planning part of it, simply because Oregon is more set up to do this maybe than other communities. And we understand what the federal government is, you know, throwing this out for a lot of communities, but Oregon is different in that we do have community plans, and each community knows, you know, if people more and its needs. And so that's what I would hear the committee saying, is that we want more money going to the actual, mm-hmm. getting to the kids and getting to the issue of preventing violence. And I think that's what you...
Well, I think we're on agreement. If you look at that third bullet, identifying reduced gaps and barriers in community policies and procedures, and I would say less time spent discussing barriers in community policies and procedures as opposed to really looking at how we have services that could be directly expanding and improve the quantity of good quality services that we already have the infrastructure to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I guess you have two ways to go. You can ask them to come back with more information, or we could discuss approving the grant, you know, giving them the opportunity to go for the grant. That doesn't mean they get it. I mean, if in fact their questions are half-baked, if they haven't got everything in line, they're not going to get this federal grant. You know what I'm saying? Given the timelines and the amount of time we've spent on it, I'm kind of wondering if we shouldn't make a decision one way or the other, so that either they come back with more information, if we want that, or we say, go ahead, apply for the grant now and let's get on with it.
I think what we need to do is hear from legislators as well, really, about what your analysis is, so Peggy, why don't you, you finished with your presentation, right?
Just one, Chair, I would just say that when we come back for that expenditure limitation, that second phase of our process here, just that will be at the time where the grant has been awarded, the grant has been written, and the specifics of that will address everyone's needs, expectations, and questions will be planned at that time, and that we will be looking toward operationalizing that at that point. So you will receive that information at that point.
I guess it's between now and then that we don't want you spending a lot of time doing that and money. And all the time you want, as long as it doesn't spend too much money so that it can go to church.
Madam Chairman, Sheila has recommended approval of the request. I would note just from the discussion of the committee and the committee's interest that you could directly the agency to use the minimum amount allowable. Obviously, since this is a federal grant, there are federal guidelines that tell you what you can spend the money on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have maximum flexibility because they're applying for a grant that has a purpose and may have as a large part of its purpose the planning and identification of the issue. But if you're interested in having the agency pursue the grant application, you may want to direct them to use the minimum amount allowable in the federal guidelines for those purposes and the maximum amount for direct services that's allowable.
Okay. The chair would move that.
Excuse me. And then they should, when they come back, identify what those minimum and maximum allowables are and be very specific about the federal instructions in those areas.
Okay. The chair would move then that we approve the request for the State Commission on Children and Families to apply for a grant from the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, and that a minimum amount allowable be used for the actual planning process and a maximum to the services to be delivered. Is there a discussion? Okay. Any objection then? Okay. The record will show you the throwback objection.
Do we understand what is the reason for objection?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Based on the material that I have here and the discussion that we've had, the notation here that there will be one staff position to coordinate the project, and that there will I don't think that this is going to a purpose that I expect to see any results for. And I think it's a waste of money, frankly, and I would rather have the Commission on Children and Families, which I think does a fine job, a fine agency. We have some wonderful people here who operate those commissions in several of the counties. I'd rather have them concentrate on what they're doing now rather than go out and try to reinvent another program along these lines, and especially with these bullet points that I was going through the witness on, I didn't see anything there that really brings real value to the state.
Madam Chair,
may
I change my vote? I really feel that way too.
Okay. But
the implication of that is that we essentially will deny them the opportunity to even apply for the grant.
Mm-hmm.
If you get more money and you set up a group, I don't want to say bureaucracy, because I think that's what this is doing, but it is going to involve personnel here, and would still be spending their time, and probably there will be others that would have to be joining them to get this job done, and I'm not sure that we're going to really help the overall focus of the children and families.
Okay. The only thing that I would say is that because we've been given the counties that have qualified to participate in this, that would be my only concern. We've got here Coos County, Josephine County, Klamath County, Lincoln County, and Marion County that actually will lose. And the reason I say that is that they very possibly don't have the kinds of funds at this point in time to be able to address some of these issues in their communities. And I actually believe that Mr. Jenkins has gotten the point that the minimum amount that can be spent on planning should be spent on planning, and the maximum on delivery of services. And I just happen to know that these are pretty needy counties. Mm-hmm. That would be my only concern. Yes. So if I could persuade one of you to at least, well, I really appreciate your concerns. I really do. And I understand them fully.
Need the vote.
But yeah, it would essentially.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Walken. Did you have something else?
We'll be waiting for your report.
Well, I was just very excited that to the extent that these funds can actually be passed through to private nonprofits that are already providing valuable services, such as domestic violence shelters, such as the Relief Nursery. These kinds of programs that are in fact supported in their local communities and are already being effective in supporting reducing violence, then I would like to support that, opposed to the planning, talking, thinking.
Let me point out, Madam Chair, the background information says that this is a program to reduce the impact of family and community violence.
Mm-hmm.
on young children aged of birth to six, and that the goal of the project is to create a holistic approach to prevent and reduce the harmful effects of exposure to violence on young children by improving access to delivery of quality of services to children and responding to the needs of children and their families at any point of entry into relevant systems, legal, social service, and mental. I don't see that as funding domestic shelters, domestic abuse shelters, or anything else. Develop a holistic approach, and especially children birth to six, exposure to violence. Turn off the TV, don't play the video games, and don't hit people. There you've got it. I mean, I understand the Senator Shields comment. I think that's on point, that a lot of what we've got here is a concern about a societal problem that's much more fundamental. And so the response of the federal government is to make millions of dollars in grant money available, and the response on our end, naturally, is to try to get that money. But I don't think that it's accomplishing it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have an answer to the question about the domestic violence?
Could we send money through to domestic violence shelters?
Chair Kisa, Representative Ross, and Representative Kobeck, I thoroughly believe that the communities that are involved with the State Commission will do a very good job of identifying the gaps and deficiencies and the providers necessary to fill those, whether, again, it is strengthening the existing efforts, such as
Riverbend.
It's indeed that.
Well, but our county isn't part of it. You couldn't strengthen.
But striking a piece of the system that exists in one of those identified counties, or developing the program specifically addresses those issues in the community. I truly, my role with the commission is I'm the Healthy Start coordinator for the state as well. So I'm very well aware of the private nonprofits in providing the services locally, and that generally is one of the strongest points of any community. We do have a good system in doing that. I like the system we work in because it does filter the money all the way down to where it's needed.
I'm going to suggest that if there is a way to get any further information to us, because there is a level of discomfort in the committee, and if there is any way of getting any assurance about where this money is going to go, aside from doing the entire planning part, we do have until June 14th, and so we'll still be in session. We could revisit this. Do you think that there could be any more thorough examination of where these things might go, or are we going to hear that same thing?
Chair Kisa, in answering your question, as we pull together the county's plans and their coordinated work, we'll have more information. At this point in time, again, as you've well noted, we are requesting the permission to apply for the grant because we will put in staff time and work toward that application. At this point in time, the State Commission will be doing that. With that permission, it frees us up to go forward, and it also means that the work done in those local communities has a sense of purpose to it. It's not a vagueness as to whether or not we actually can or can't apply for the grant. And I think in respect to the local communities who will be doing a lot of this work, I think it's critically important to give them some assurance that this work is going to have the ability at least to put together that proposal and make that proposal to OJJDP. So yes, we will in the next few weeks have a more consolidated look at this because we will have the information from the county.
But I was asking that question. That would be, if we do not move on this today, could you come back with some of that information to this committee to give you the permission to apply for the grant? And your answer sounded like you were moving forward on the application of the grant. My suggestion was that you come back to this committee, maybe knowing a little bit more from the federal government point of view about where this might be, how these monies can be used. And I think, I just feel like there's a level of discomfort, and I've talked Representative Walton into something she may not want to do. And rather than have it fail, rather than say no, I would rather give you a little bit of extra time to search this out and see if indeed this first paragraph of this background information on the 27th letter is really accurate.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, it may be that the committee doesn't do that.
Madam Chair, I think if the introduction from the committee is they'd rather not vote on this today and for the agency to come back, certainly we'd want to do that. You've asked some very good questions, ones that we can't answer, and we would want the opportunity to provide that information.
All right. I think that's what we'll do then. So, thank you, Fritz.
Madam Chair, if you have four counties, is there five? I list here in Buffalo.
Who's Josephine County?
Gaslight, Josephine, Marion, and Multnomah.
No, that's a different one.
Different one? Did I pick up the wrong one?
Yeah.
Who's
Josephine?
Right.
Not written down there. We have
no
right
I see
down.
That.
But Jane, it's Coos, Josephine, Kalama, Lincoln, and Marion.
Okay. And is that grant money, maybe you don't know this yet, you're dividing that equally among those counties? Is that how that goes? Or maybe you don't know that.
Her case have Representative Logan. We would not be able to identify that exactly.
That's fine. Okay.
Okay. With that, I guess we'll end the discussion on this particular grant application. We will see you in
we'll reschedule.
Yeah, we'll reschedule. And soon enough for him to do it if we move ahead. Okay. The next.
Madam Chair, we have a couple of health division grants. One that is time critical is the grant that deals with the money from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for the federal public health preparedness and response for bioterrorism plan. And the deadline, I don't know who came up with that name, but in any event, this application is due on May 14th, so this is one that you probably need to deal with one way or the other today.
Okay, then.
Madam Chair, Doug Wilson, Director of Program and Finance, Ellie Hall, who is going to give the presentation, is stuck on a major accident on I-5 and it closed down one way, the southbound lane, so she will not be here. We have a very able pinch hitter, in terms of Grant Higginson, the State Public Health Officer. But I will warn you that neither of us have the depth of the details in these grants as we would have probably with Ellie Hickman or Dave Fleming.
Okay.
Turn it over to Grant and I'll help out as I mentioned.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Chair Keith, other members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Grant Higginson. I'm the State Health Officer and Deputy Administrator for the Oregon Health Division. And we have two requests for permission to apply for grants today. We were going to go through the oral health for children one first just because it is simpler, if that would be okay with the committee. It is due the 17th, so they're both, I think, fairly time critical, but we will do whichever one you want us to do first.
Did you have a conversation with the nurses at Oregon Dental?
We had a quick one out in the hall, Madam Chair, and it was news to both of us about her concerns. And
Chair Keita, what we told her is that we certainly would be willing to work with her and talk to her more about her concerns and the possibility of shifting some of these funds to the project that she is talking about. My understanding, though, is that the advisory group and actually the group that helped put this grant proposal together, at least the ideas for the grant proposal, is a coalition made up of a number of groups, which includes the Oregon Dental Association. And so certainly we would be willing to work with them to see what was possible. I would want to make sure that we work through that Coalition, which is a broad-based coalition interested in preventing toxic carries. The other thing is that since I don't have a copy of the RFP materials or request for proposal materials in front of me, I'm not sure what limitations there might be in that as well. So, I mean, we certainly would look at those issues and see whether or not that was a possibility.
Well, and I don't see Ms. Myers in here any longer, so apparently either she's not realizing that we're hearing it at this moment or
probably true. I mean,
So, Madam Chair, it's up to the chair. I don't know what the concern is, as I know that the Oregon Dental Association is a group that participated in preparing the grant. So I have not heard what the concern is to suggest here. So I wouldn't be prepared.
Well, I think there it has to do with one of the people who is it the director or whatever, the description of what the person is hired to do, that there's some concern that already is going on. And
Madam Chair, that's my understanding, that she thinks that some of the work that this contract position would be doing are things that they're already doing, and her personal feeling is that some of those dollars should be spent for the development and distribution of educational materials. And in looking at what I have here in front of me, I'm not sure that the development and distribution of educational materials would be prohibited. I mean, it talks about these efforts will be accomplished by working with OMAP plans to ensure that participating general practice centers receive the newest and latest training, education, and support in the following areas. So it may be able to include some of what she wants to do as well. But my understanding of one of the real issues here is that I think that we all know that access to dental health services is something that we need to be working on, and particularly for young children, particularly for low-income children. And as I understand it, one of the problems is that there are a number of general practice dentists who are uncomfortable dealing with children, particularly 1 through 3, when they're going through some critical periods around oral health issues and the prevention of caries, are not the best patients. And so a lot of what this contractee would be doing would be working with the plans, who would then be working with individual physicians on care management. How can you work with the child and their family to get them to be a more receptive patient so you can actually do the treatments that you need to do? And also, when there are going to be problems, apparently there are some atraumatic, some non-traumatic treatments that you can do that don't actually give you a cure for the caries, but postpone things enough so that you can then treat it at a later time when the child is ready to be a more cooperative patient. So those were the focuses that this grant was going to be on, as well as providing more information on the need for fluoride systemically and also for fluoride treatments.
Okay, so I think we will, but I just wanted to be clear that we have the entire picture of what this grant is for. So do we, in a nutshell, can you restate what it is we're doing with this grant, what you're asking for in this grant?
What we are asking for is $50,000 a year for the life of the grant, which is 4 years, or a total of $200,000, and this would be coming from the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. And it primarily would go to hiring a contract physician. I assume that would most likely be a dentist who would be working with the coalition that we discussed, which is a broad-based coalition, the OMAP dental directors and those dental plans to improve access to dental care services for low-income and other vulnerable children. And that the way they would be doing that, as I described, would be by helping with case management of the how to deal with the child and their family when they are at the dental's office, at providing more information and education about fluoride, both systemically and fluoride treatments that are valuable to be done periodically. And then the fourth issue was to to educate dentists about these non-traumatic technique that can be used to postpone the time when definitive treatment is possible.
No, sure.
Okay, Representative Strobeck.
Director Higginson, what do you expect the salary to be paid to this contractor would be?
Thank you, Chief Cusub and Representative Strobeck. I really apologize that I don't have the fiscal detail in front of me because I wasn't prepared to do this today. If we're talking $50,000 a year, my guess is that probably $30,000 to $40,000 of that would be used for the position itself. But I really don't have that solid figure. I do know that the majority of the dollars would be for this contract position.
Follow up, I guess. That was my reading, and I don't know where you can get a dentist for $30,000 or $40,000. Maybe Ms. Myers can help us out with that. But I thought the going rate was a little higher than that. But as I read the summary here, it looks to me like you're hiring a contractor to go out and tell dentists to use better techniques for examining young children. Provide fluoride when it's not in the water and so forth. But the goal of the program is to improve oral health for children and to increase early childhood prevention activities. I'm not sure that I saw anywhere in here how anything's going to get paid for with the services delivered to the children. How's that going to happen?
And Chair 2000, Representative Strobeck, the first issue, we would not be hiring a person, so this would be contract services. My assumption, if it was a dentist or anyone else, it would be part-time work rather than full-time work, as I would not be over $50,000. On the other issue, my understanding is that one of the problems for getting children into the dentist's office for treatment, that access issue, that one of the problems is that primary care dentists are not comfortable dealing with children, and particularly very young children. You know, there's a whole subspecialty of periodontics that really deals with how you deal with young children in a dental office, because they can be very difficult and uncooperative patients. And so the idea here is to improve access by increasing the number of dentists who are willing to take those children in.
Well, maybe we could hear from the dental industry, but I'm not aware. You know, admittedly, I'm not looking for it, but I'm not aware of a large number of dentists who are saying, I don't accept children, or I don't welcome children into the practice, especially as you describe them as primary care dentists. And I also wonder how many dentists are unfamiliar with providing fluoride or delaying dental treatment until very young children can receive definitive care and so forth. I mean, I assume they all go through dental school. They all get continuing medical education classes. And I'm just trying to see the value of hiring this person to just go out basically and tell dentists what they probably already know.
Okay. And Representative Strobeck, again, I apologize for not being as familiar with this grant as I am. My understanding, however, though, is that at least a lot of the action steps that we're talking about here were things that were discussed and thought to be good ideas by this coalition, which does include members of not only the health division, but OMAP, Multnomah County Health Department, which has a dental health program, Head Start, OHSU's School of Dentistry, Capital Dental Care, Lanet Dental Groups, Multi-Care Dental, Oregon Dental Association, and the Indian Health Service. So, I mean, my assumption, although I wasn't involved in the development or those discussions, is that these were solid strategies. But I'm sorry, I can't tell you more than that right now.
Well, I apologize for being so negative today, but I just sort of feel like that. Just because somebody waves a grant in front of us,
yeah,
doesn't mean that we should grab it and spend it. And as I think the chair observed, then these become permanent programs. And really, what's the point? I would rather, in some cases, not have the money and not create a new bureaucracy and overhead and all the trappings that go with it, rather than accomplish something that maybe has very little impact, if any. And I'm surprised that Capital Dental and Willamette Dental don't already have folks who are able to instruct their participating dentists on these very techniques.
Madam Chair, but just to respond to Representative Strobeck's earlier question about who would pay for the ultimate services, this portion of this grant is for people that contract under the health plan. So it would be encouraging those Oregon health plan providers that now provide those dental services to treat children at a younger age for preventative purposes. So that's the main focus of this grant, is to work with apparently dentists at Willamette Dental, which is a big Oregon health plan provider, to encourage them to look at children at a younger age and do more preventative dental work at a younger age.
How are they going to find these children, and what are they going to do to get them into the office? Are they going to do mailings to the families, or phone calls, or what's the next step? I mean, all I read here, again, just like in the last grant, is, you know, I've been to meetings, and what I read here is that there's going to be somebody hired to go talk to dentists.
And Madam Chair and Representative Strobeck, again, I'm sorry I don't have better answers for you, but, you know, when you're talking about access, there are a number of things. One is payment, but then one is the availability of willing providers to provide those services, and I think that's one of the things we're talking about here is trying to make sure that there are more willing providers out there for a population that we know right now is going underserved. And,
Sure. One of the reasons that I was suggesting that we not start with this grant right now is because we do have a little bit of time, not much, since this is May 17th, and that the department could come back with not only answers to the questions that have been raised here, but also some kind of resolution of whatever the issue is that that was raised by the representative from the Oregon Dental Association.
And if this is about pediatric dentistry, maybe you know, these funds could be funneled in a way to assist OHSU or something in their pediatric dental program or something, you know, to help with training of those practitioners. So why don't we just, if we do have time before the committee ends, we might come back to this, and then Jane, we'll hear from you. But what I'd like to do, I think, is move on to this next grant so that we're sure that we finish.
Okay. And just before we leave that one, I do want to remind you that it is, while we have more time, it still is due next Monday. So we're talking about a very limited amount of time.
Okay.
I wonder if we could just hear about 2 or 3 minutes from Jane about what her concern is.
Yes, that'd be good. Yes. All right. Jane?
I was going to wait
to do that at the end of the. We'll just make you do it quickly.
Just so we know.
And then,
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Jane Myers. I represent the Oregon Dental Association. I apologize for not being better prepared on this, too, and I think that's one of the problems in doing grants applications is we get the information after you get it, and even though we're part of a coalition that looks at these things, we did not have any information about this particular grant. So with that apology in mind, we're not opposed to putting more dollars into early childhood caries prevention. We're just concerned about the methods that we use to put those dollars into action. I think some person on the committee's, Madam Chair's idea of perhaps this could be funneled through the pediatric training program at OHSU because they certainly could use the help. We can identify children all day long who need help, but unless we got pediatric train dentists to give them the help they need, we're just going to keep hitting the blank wall of the child waiting for a month to 2 to 3, in some cases 4 months, to see the specialist dentist. So with that said, I'd be happy to go out in the hallway and try to see if we can put together some more information about this, because we would not like to really stand in the way of getting some additional dollars for children's care.
I guess the thing I'd like to know really is the answer to the question about whether this would could be applicable to OHSU in any way, but maybe the Health Division doesn't want to do that. But the problem with stepping out in the hall right now is that Dr. Higginson needs to present another grant. Grant needs to present another grant. Thank you, Jane.
And just for clarification on that, Chair Keithub, you would like us to look at the possibility of this money going to fund the pediatric residence program or to fund these activities, but do it through OHSU?
More of a pediatric residency program, because we need to produce the practitioners that can care for these children once they're identified. I think what I heard said was that a lot of dentists, general practice dentists, don't like to deal with these young children because the children don't like to be dealt with in their mouths. So it does take special skills to be a pediatric dentist.
Right, and Chair Keithub, I guess the decision is it better to try to get some of those skills to more dentists that are practicing general dentistry now so they can see those kids, or to focus on a more limited number of pediatric dentists in training? But that's something that we're certainly going to discuss with ODA on this issue.
Okay.
Bioterrorism. And right, Madam Chair, the reason that I wanted to do the other one first is because I thought it'd be simpler, but it was not. So the bioterrorism grant is a fairly complicated grant, and the federal government has decided to invest substantial dollars into the issue of bioterrorism. They are going to invest over $40 million. To identify and respond to bioterrorism acts. And while at first you may think that, you know, this really doesn't have a lot of relevance, I would like to say that in 1999 alone, over 200 reported threats of bioterrorism in the United States were received, and three of those happened in Oregon, in Flawless, and there were anthrax threats on three different occasions in local government buildings. And also, if you will recall, the Rajneesh several years ago in the Dallas, there was what I believe to be still the only one true documented act of bioterrorism in the United States. So it is a real issue, and one that we are becoming more and more concerned about, and the federal government is as well, and so they are making funds available. And this grant was actually split into the Centers for Disease Control grant, and this was actually split into five different areas. And each one of those areas represents a different application with a, you know, separate funding amount, and a limited number of states will be selected in each one of those, and the number of states for each of the sections are different as well. So if we are applying for four out of those five possibilities, the one we are not going for is public health lab capacity for chemical agents. We are asking for biological, but not chemical agents. And if we were to get all four, we would be talking about $1.6 million per year coming to the health division, or a total of $8.2 million over the five-year of the grant. The first section that we would like to apply for is preparedness planning and readiness assessment. The health division is responsible for medical and health issues in the event of natural disasters, and we work closely with the Office of Emergency Management, the National Guard, and other folks on those issues. There is no such plan, though, available for bioterrorism. So while we do have a plan and we do conduct exercises around earthquakes and other natural disasters, there's no similar thing right now for bioterrorism. And that first section, which would be a request of $91,000 per year, primarily for staff in the Center for Environmental Health, would be working to work with local and state emergency management and others to come up with that plan, those training exercises, so we do have that system in place. The second issue is, the second area that we are applying for is for surveillance and epidemiological capacity, and this would be for $400,000 per year. And again, the way that the Salmonella outbreak at the Dalles was identified was because we started to get reports in
from illnesses to the local health department. This was from healthcare providers and healthcare institutions in the area, and having staff available to go out and to talk to those people, to identify those, to examine those patients, and to then do actual histories and culturing of the salad bars where it grew out. That is what I identified this as a bioterrorism act. And the local health departments need additional funding to be able to provide that surveillance and epidemiological capacity. They also need to have better links with state and local law enforcement, Oregon Emergency Management Agency, and others to make sure that that is a comprehensive and good surveillance and epidemiology system. The third section that we would be applying for is the laboratory capacity for biological agents, and again, the way we were able to identify and that this was truly a outbreak in the Dallas situation was by having the lab throw out the salmonella and do serological typing on that to make sure that it was indeed the same organism in all instances. And for us to be able to have a lab that really can do that appropriately, we would need to increase the capacity both in staff and equipment, and we are asking for $400,000 per year to do that. The actual laboratory facility that we have right now would take very little in the way of remodeling to make sure that this capacity was possible. And then the fourth and final and the most expensive piece is the health alert network and the training that would go along with that. And what that would be doing is really supporting the other three pieces so that there would be internet connectivity and integration with all local health departments and other agencies to make sure that there was a system of rapid and good communication should events of bioterrorism take place in the state of Oregon. And then just an added benefit that we see to this is that not only is this going to strengthen the infrastructure and support for issues around bioterrorism, but it also would improve the infrastructure and capacity for local public health in general, particularly for communicable disease issues around local public health departments. And I think that you have already heard in previous testimonies that local public health departments, and we believe that that is an important issue as well.
Other questions, Mr. Higginson? Peggy, do you want to take a statement?
Madam Chairman and members of the subcommittee, this is a sizable grant. A lot of times the health division deals with you know, 50,000 here and 50,000 there, but this is if all of the funds are awarded an $8.2 million grant for a lot of activity, and we're recommending that since this is a problem, that you go ahead and approve a request for application, but that when the grant comes back, that there be a very thorough discussion and examination so that the committee is well aware of any kind of obligation that might come down the road as a result of these activities, and so that you have a clear choice of whether you want to start down the road knowing that. This is not a minor thing, so it may not be as easy to turn the water off of as some smaller grants might be. And so,
just to follow up on what staff was asking about, to what extent will this activity be building capacity that could then be carried on by ongoing staff in local areas once their systems are improved, as opposed to things that we would have to pick up after the end of the five-year period? What portion of $8 million will we need to be picking up?
And Madam Chair and Representative Ross, again, I don't have the fiscal detail to go into exactly what that would be, but my understanding is that there are a number of these costs that are one-time equipment costs or are staff costs within the health division to help set up these systems. I'm unclear right now exactly how much of this would be pass-through dollars for local health departments, which then might have to be picked up in the long run. And that's something we can certainly get back to at a later date.
Madam Chair, if you take a look at and listen to what Grant had talked about and look at some of the write-ups, you'll notice much of it is capacity building or getting ready, planning, working, strengthening those networks between communities, many of which are one-time costs. And it's a five-year grant, and it's quite a bit of time period to put together those systems. I think if you take a look at the laboratory capacity, we were talking about additional staff there, and that might be an area that you'll probably want to ask some questions about, as Peggy did suggest.
Madam Chair, George Naughton, for the record, with the Department of Administrative Services. When I looked into this, a big portion of this is updating equipment, both within the health lab and within the local areas. And we have the cost of updating that equipment and also training the staff that exists on how to use that new stuff. It's more effective, it's a lot quicker, but they don't know how to use this new stuff that's coming down the line. So that also is a big portion of that. So we do not have the details yet. We don't. This amount, 1.64 of the 40 million, when I penciled that out, I think this is fairly optimistic because of 50 states, the average would be 800,000. And you've got folks like New York and California who have a much larger bioterrorist threat.
Yeah.
So we don't know yet what we're actually going to get out of this grant process.
Okay. And Representative Sherbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate this last little discussion. I actually think this is a good program. And
it's okay for me to vote no then. Good.
But I do notice a bit of a conflict in the death summary and the LFO summary in the last sentences. The DAS summary says the division, if approved, the division will return to a future legislative committee to request needed expenditure limitation and position authority. And the LFO summary says there's no general fund match, but the legislature will want assurance that no unknown future obligation is created by acceptance of the funds. And that I would be prepared to make a motion, but just with the assurance that the approval were we to receive all this grant, that this in no way obligates the legislature to continue funding those positions.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm Representative Strobeck. My comment doesn't negate George's comment. What he's talking about is that if the grant is approved, they can't spend any money until they come back and get expenditure authority. And my comment was you know, that is true. They for all of these grants, they will have to come back before they can spend the money and get expenditure limitation. My last sentence was the caution about after the 5 years is over.
And that's my concern.
And that one would want to look at the details. And as Mr. Naughton says, we don't really know what the value of the grant will be. So it's hard to talk about the details when we don't know how large it will be at this point. But when they do come back, we will want to look and have the emergency board or those, which I assume is going to be the case because it's a midsummer approval, look very, very carefully at what's down the road happens as a result of these activities.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would just make a further comment.
Okay.
Madam Chair, that granted that there are other states that have higher populations, higher concentrations, but I do believe we are one of the few states that has actually had a case of bioterrorism within our borders, as well as the presence of the Umatilla nerve gas storage. All those things added up would make a pretty compelling case, I would think, for Oregon to qualify for this.
Okay.
So with that,
good idea.
Mm-hmm. Would you entertain a motion?
Yes, I would. Unless
did you talk about that you need a sunset on this if you're looking at, or does it just automatically sunset at the end of a grant? Or
what happens? Well,
you hired someone, so what do we do after 5 years?
Right, Madam Chair, Representative Wilkin, at the end of 5 years, we would have to come back to the legislature and say these grant funds have run out. This is what we have done with the program. This is the benefit that we think it has provided. And then it would be up to you to decide whether or not you felt that there was a need to continue those resources for that activity.
So, and you're saying then it's not necessary to have a sunset because it will
automatically. I'm sure there's automatically a sunset, a five-year grant period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the way that happens mechanically with any positions that are associated with this, you'll recall when we go through the details of a current service level budget, there is a you know, phase in and phase out section, and that's where you identify positions as a, that budget is being created, that phase out.
The phase out position.
Frequently, you don't mm-hmm. see those. The analyst sees them. You see them in the net,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the net is, you know, is not an identifiable number. So it is. It's generally the analyst who's looking at the individual programs that are phasing out in the end. But certainly, members are always welcome to that detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. I can assure you that your staff is really probing in there.
Not
sure. May not be in 5 years. Just as long as they don't give them all anthrax at the end of 5 years.
Throwback.
I would move that the committee recommend to the full committee, send the full committee of the group has recommendation approval of the submission of a 5-year grant application to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for a Federal Public Health Preparedness and Response for Bioterrorism grant amounting to a total of approximately $8.2 million.
Representative Strobeck has moved for the approval of the submission of the grant application. Is there a discussion? Any objection? Now, we'll return here to the dental grant for a moment.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, there's been a suggestion that upon completion of the grant proposal and award, when the agency has to come back for permission to extend the funds, that they come back with a plan on how they would work with OHSU School of Dentistry for leveraging the grant for fulfilling the purposes of the grant. And I don't see that would be a problem, because it's my understanding that most of the training that would take place related to improving pediatric services among the general community of doctors that are somewhat reluctant in that area, that the Health Sciences University would be the focal point of that kind of training anyway. So we can also assure that we've got somebody from the Health Sciences University here to comment as well, since they also were part of the coalition working on this proposal. We could have. Okay. We don't have somebody now, but when they come back, in other words, we can make sure that we can make sure that somebody from OHSU is here to talk about their participation.
But so we're saying that we could. The suggestion is that if we do approve the grant, that would be the caveat. How does that sound, Dr. Higgins?
And Chair Cusa, if I understand this, when we came back to ask for approval to receive the funds, that we would want to be sitting up here with members from OHSU and the General Association, say we all agree that these are the ways that the dollars should be spent and how that's going to happen. Is that correct?
I'm sure, yes. Yeah. And also, and specifically OHSU's role in the training how they would contact and carry on the improvement of pediatric services.
And
for the existing health plan doctors.
And Chair, I believe that we can do that and would make a commitment to working with those agencies to come up with something we can all live with and with the directions that you've given.
Okay.
With that understanding, I would move that we approve the request to submit a grant to the Department of Health and Human Services for oral health for children, send on to the School of Medicine and Distribution and Recommendation.
Representative Graf moves that we approve the submission of a $200,000 grant application to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services to improve oral health for children to the full committee. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair, I would just want to add, in the discussion with Dr. Graf with OHSU, that I think further it would be worthwhile to have an explanation of how the dental providers were going to use this to actually accomplish outreach to get to those children. Just having the knowledge is one thing, but I'd like to know how they're actually going to get it into the mouths of the children.
Madam Chair, I think that is a good point. We
the children can be identified because the children are in the health plan.
Right.
But one of the comments that has been made frequently by the subcommittee members when talking about the health plan is how to get people to use the preventative services in the health plan as opposed to the trauma services. And this would be an appropriate discussion to see how you actually, what are the steps going to be taken to actually get the children 0 to 3 or 6, or I think it's 0 to 3 is really what they're focusing on here, or 1 to 3, you have to have a 2. Maybe not, I don't know. But to get those children 3 and under to be brought in by their parents.
Okay.
All right. With that, any further discussion? Any objections? Okay. That has been approved, and we will adjourn today.